I was in prayer this morning, and the Lord he brought someone before me in my prayer time, and I knew at that moment that it was going to be a teachable prayer time. You know, many times we enter into our individual prayer rooms or approach our prayer altars with a long list of things that we want God to do, and things that we want, you know, to see him do, and things that we want personally. But I maintain and tell you that there will be times when God will summon you to the prayer room, because there's something he wants to teach you. There's something that he wants to reveal to you. And so as I spent time meditating in his presence and just, you know, acknowledging his awesomeness and blessing him for all that he is, before I could bring any petition before him, he brought this young lady before me. And this young lady, he had me to just study her countenance, study her spirit. And as I, you know, study her spirit, and this is someone that I know, the Lord spoke to me and he said, she's full of bitterness. And I was like, wow, God, you know, wow, she's full of bitterness. And then the Lord would have me to sort of review, you know, or just reflect on some of her, the mannerisms and her conduct and the way that she carries herself. And, you know, I was like, who was it? I was like, Jeremiah. I was like, yeah, Lord, you're right. This woman has a bitter spirit. The word bitterness is defined as anger and disappointment at being treated unfairly. Another definition for bitterness is simply resentment, where someone feels as if they have been slighted. They feel like they've been overlooked, underappreciated, ostracized, or, you know, along that lane. And many of us have been there. I've been there, where we've had unfair things to happen, where we have been treated unfairly, where we expected one certain result from a thing and were tendered something else. And it's disheartening, to say the very least. So I get it. You know, we all have seasons of dealing with bitterness, and that's just the part of the human experience. However, there is a difference in terms of allowing our spirits to become bitter. And that's when you let something linger in your heart, or you process the pain of that thing over and over. Your mind is consumed with what happened, that unfair act that happened. And that unfair act, it varies from you to me, right? That unfair act may be the, you know, dissolution of a marriage, the breakup of a church, the betrayal of a friend, being looked over for a promotion, maybe receiving a medical diagnosis, you know, being cut off from something. I mean, you know, we can go on and on. Like I said, we've all had bitter experiences. When you look through the Word of God, many, most, if not all of these men and women have had bitter experiences up to and including our Lord Jesus Christ. Very bitter experience, but it's what you do with that. There's something that I often mention to my church in Charlotte, and I often say, you know, Jesus said, Satan comes to me, he's coming to me, but he can't find anything in me, right? And I'm quoting that, that's my own quote. And simply what that means is the enemy will come to you, will approach you, will come to examine you to see what's in you that he can connect with. You know, what is there? What is residing or harboring in your spirit? Or what is taking place in the confines of your mind? Or what are the ponderings and the meditations of your heart that can lure him, or that gives him a place? Because the Bible says, give no place. So he's looking for a place. Remember, even from the very beginning, he was evicted, cast down. So he's the Lord asked him, what are you doing? Oh, I'm walking up into up and down, to and fro in the earth, right? Seeking. So that's his nature. He's always looking to find a place, always looking. Even the Bible says, when an unclean spirit is cast out of a man, you know, he goes away and he comes back to find that house. He's looking to find it varnished, swept clean. And then he comes back and brings the other spirits seven times worse than himself, and makes the latter state of that man worse than the beginning. So it's very important. And if anybody knows me personally, I'm just, you will always hear me say, guard your spirit. I mean, it's in my books, it's in my blogs, it's in my messages, it's in my talks. Because I can't express that enough. You have, even the Bible says, examine yourself, right? See if Christ be in you. Learn, and many of us are scholars when it comes to examining other people. We can tell you everything about another person's life. We can tell you what they have on. We can tell you what they've done, what their children haven't done. You know, we can tell you what they drive. We can tell you where they live. But have we studied our own spirits? And if there's anything that I can truly, truly bless the Lord my God for, is early on in my salvation walk, he taught me how to study my own spirit. He made me spiritually sensitive to myself so that I know when my spirit is off. I know when I'm in an atmosphere that's hostile, and that the Lord would require me to watch my walk, watch my talk, right? You're in the company of wolves. You're in the company of snakes. You're in the company of vipers. And the Holy Spirit would teach me how to conduct myself. I was in a situation last week, and I was in the company of wolves, right? These weren't snakes. They weren't out to attack me, but I could feel the hostility. And that's a whole nother topic there. But anyway, I was in the company of wolves, and I could immediately feel a restraint in my spirit. You know how the Bible talks about how the tongue is an unruly, evil, unruly thing. It's like a course of fire set on hell, right? You know, and the Holy Spirit will be like the bit in the horse's mouth that will pull you back, that will restrain you and will cause you to hold your peace. You don't have to respond. You don't need to push back. You don't have to defend you. The Holy Spirit is that bit in our mouths that will pull us back. And so as I was in that atmosphere, and like I said, it was a hostile atmosphere. I was in a company of wolves, and I could hear the Holy Spirit say, you know, restrain yourself. Pull back. And because I'm a lover of people, and when you are a lover of people, you can see the manifestations, but yet there's that compassionate drive in you that just wants to help. And I thank God that he's delivered me from, you know, being Jesus Jr. Because I hate to see people hurting. I hate to see people broken. I hate to see people going through, but there are times when you just got to step back and let God be God. Amen. Your Bible says you can even get your garments spotted. You can get your garments wrinkled, right? Trying to pull people out of things. So you even have to know as detrimental a situation a person can be in. And as much as your heart is longing to pull that person in, you need to be led by the Holy Spirit. Romans 8:14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, for they shall be called the sons of God, right? So we're not Jesus Jr. We don't come to save the world, and we are not our own. So there will be things that will touch the compassionate core of who you are. Even in that, Father, shall I go up, right? Shall I pursue? Shall I overtake? Shall I recover? You need to know when to go, and because going in being presumptuous can get your soul into some trouble. You can get drawn into something that God has not given you the grace to endure. So going back to this, and we're still talking about bitterness here. I began to recognize and discern that the atmosphere was hostile, that I was in the company of wolves. And so I immediately within myself, I said, okay, God, I literally say, God, what is this? I mean, I said, Lord, what is this? What did I step into? And the Lord said, pull back. And he said, let your words be few. And he told me, he said, just watch, observe. And so during that time, listen to me, people of God, during that time, and even though I'm a prophet, and even though I'm an apostle, and even though I'm all these wonderful things, there will be times when the Lord will say, listen, right now, I don't need your mouth. I need your ears and I need your eyes. Okay. I don't need you to say, I'm a prophet and God's giving me word. No, be quiet. Hold your peace. Amen. Even Jesus knew when to hold his peace. So it was in that season, in that particular situation where the Lord said, just be quiet and just watch and observe, pay attention. And I did. And so it was out of that, that, you know, here it is almost a week later, the Lord brought that thing to me in my prayer, in my prayer time. And he said, I want you to study her spirit. And he said, what do you say? I said, God, she's bitter. And the Lord said, look at her countenance. I said, God, she's angry. And the Lord showed me how that anger opened the door for bitterness. So I'm going to give you some scripture so you won't think that I'm just rattling off the top of my head. But Peter, Apostle Peter, was talking to Simon the sorcerer. This is in the book of Acts chapter 8, verse 23. And I'm just going to pull a verse completely out of context. But this is a conversation that Peter's having with Simon. But Peter says something very key here. Peter says, I see that you are full of bitterness and captive to sin. Right? You are full of bitterness and captive to sin. In other words, now, you know, I pray that some of you pick that up. When you're full of bitterness, okay, now you're in a place positionally where sin can control your movement. Sin will control what you say. Sin will control what you do. Sin, you know, your whole mannerisms, your conduct, the way of who you are becomes sinful. The way you treat people becomes sinful. You open the doors. Let me tell you, I'll take you back to Genesis. When you had, bring it to me, Holy Spirit, Cain and Abel. And you had Abel producing, and I was studying that yesterday, and God gave me a beautiful revelation. Maybe one day I'll share it with you all. But God was giving me a beautiful revelation out of the way that Abel worshiped, right? Because worship comes out of a revelation, and I'm already trying to get into that. But there was something going on with Cain to where Cain did not receive that revelation. For whatever reason, right? Same brother, same mom and dad, same opportunity. And yeah, we can go there. There are people that can share the same place with you and not receive what you have. And that can be for a variety of reasons, right? But anyway, whatever Abel had, Cain did not. And so Cain worshiped out of his own experience, out of his own revelation. Of course, we know that Cain's worship was rejected. Okay? But the Lord told Cain something, and he said, why is your countenance fallen? You know, he said, if you've done well, wouldn't you have been accepted? And now we're talking about bitterness, okay? He said, if you had done well, wouldn't you have been accepted? And so he warns him. He said, sin lieth at the door. In other words, watch yourself. And it goes back to what Peter is saying here in chapter 8, that, you know, when you're full of bitterness, you become a captive of sin. So it's the bitterness that comes first, which attacks your emotions, the way that you feel. And if you don't, because remember what I said, we all have bitter days. We have bitter moments. We have bitter situations. It doesn't mean you are bitter. You're just going through a bitter season. It's just a bitter thing, right? Jesus went through some bitter things, but he did not become bitter. That's why Satan couldn't find anything in him. But Satan was able to find something in Cain. And it didn't have anything to do with his worship being rejected. It didn't have anything to do with how God accepted Abel's worship. The enemy was able to find a place in Cain because his countenance had fallen. And because he lingered in that place. And as he lingered in that place, we pick up here where Peter said, you're full of bitterness and a captive to sin. When you allow bitterness to take root in your spirit, it will open the door to sin. And I believe a translation that I, or some commentator gave the translation to that, that sin was a crouching tiger, ready to pounce, ready. Like, remember what I said, Satan is looking for a place ready to take up residence in your spirit, and it will govern the way you conduct yourself. So bitterness is something very, instrumental, in terms of having an understanding of what that means, because as I stated to you in my opening, we all have bitter experiences, whatever that is. Some of you may be in that bitter place right now. Some of you may have just come out of that. I could write a book on my bitter experiences, and maybe one day the Holy Spirit will release me to do so. However, there are things that God wants you to learn out of that bitter thing. There's glory that God wants to get out of that thing, you know, that brought you bitterness. You're not supposed to stay there, my friends. You're not supposed to stay like Cain did in that sunken countenance place. You're supposed to say, you know what? This did not work out the way that I planned. things did not go the way that I expected them to. That relationship did not work the way that I wanted it to. That opportunity didn't open for me as I thought it would. And I'm hurt. I'm disappointed. But you know what, God? There's yet another day. There's yet another opportunity. There's yet another person. And so that, my friend, you know, you have to, like David, encourage yourself in the Lord and know that, you know what, this did not work out for me, but this is not the end of my story. Don't put a period where God has placed a comma. We've heard that. Don't give a benediction where God has not said amen. It's not over. Let me move on. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 verse 9 says, do not be quickly provoked in your spirit. Matter of fact, let me give you the King James of that, okay, because I love the King James. Give me a minute. I'm stuck in NIV for some reason. Hold on. Alrighty, thank you, Father. Glory to you, Jesus. Hang on, still trying to get there. Ecclesiastes 7 and 9. Let's pull that up for you. It says, be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger resteth in the bosom of fools. Don't be hasty. Or one version, I think the NIV says, don't be quickly provoked, because anger resides in the laps or the bosoms of a fool. This goes back to what we said about Cain. He became quickly provoked. And when you become quickly provoked, you set yourself up for bitterness. All right? There's another scripture that I want to give you. Job chapter 7, verse 11. Therefore, I will not keep silent. I will speak out in the anguish of my spirit, and I will complain in the bitterness of my soul. Job said this. He says again in Job 10:1, I loathe my very life, therefore I will give free rein to my complaint and speak out in the bitterness of my soul. There's another one that I want to give you. This is Proverbs chapter 14, verse 10. Listen, each heart knows its own bitterness, and no one else can share its joy. I want to give you that in the King James. Give me just a minute. The heart knows, this is Proverbs 14:10. The heart knows his own bitterness. I got to say that again. The heart knows its own bitterness. You know where your bitter place is. You know that. We can paint that thing with a smile, with some makeup, with a suit or a dress, but we know what our bitterness is. And if I can say something to you, if I can leave you with some words of wisdom, this woman that the Lord brought to my spirit, and that's sort of what birthed this message today. I don't know what her experience has been, but she's in the bitterness of her soul, like Job said. I don't know what happened with her, but I maintain to tell you that bitterness that she's harboring, or really at this point, it has her under arrest. And there's something key when I said that. I heard the Holy Spirit just kind of nudge me when I said that. Bitterness will have you under arrest. You don't control it any longer. You're not able to control. You know how we're able to, you know, maybe suck it up, or, you know, kind of wipe our face and put a smile on? Well, bitterness doesn't give you that luxury. Bitterness won't let you dictate it. Bitterness will dictate you. Bitterness will dictate your life. Bitterness will dictate the reactions you have to people. Do you know that when you're in the bitterness of your soul, you won't be able to rejoice with other people? You won't be able to rejoice because, you know, that resentment will have you thinking, why didn't this happen to me? When you're in the bitterness of your soul, and even the Bible talks about the root springing up into bitterness to trouble you. I'm going to give you that scripture. The root of bitterness. Give me a minute. Let me get to that for you. This is Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15. And the Bible says, Hebrews 12, 15, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. In other words, don't fall short of the grace of God. Now, you got to listen to this. Don't fall short of the grace of God. Now, let's go further. Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. So the Bible makes it clear that according to Hebrews 12:15, you can fall short of the grace of God. You can miss out, okay, on God's kindness, on God's favor toward you. Remember I told you bitterness will dictate your life. Bitterness will close doors on opportunities that God has for you. Because why? Your attitude, right? Your attitude will keep you from... Listen, if the Lord would have said to me, I'm going to give you an opportunity to be a blessing to someone today, or I've graced you to open a door or someone. Do you know that that bitter person would not have made it? Their whole countenance canceled them out of that. When you look at Mary's life, what attracted the favor of God? Believe you me, it was not her having a bitter spirit. Even with everything that she went through, Mary did not have a bitter spirit. It's very important. Because we're going to have disappointment, right? In this world, in this life, you're going to have tribulation. You're going to have persecution. Even the righteous, you know, going to suffer persecution. But what do you do with that? What do you do with the persecution? What do you do with the tribulation? Does it define you? Does it overwhelm the character of person that God called you to be? Or do you just allow it to take you over? Like that crouching tiger, just consume you and take you over and take on your identity. In other words, the way you conduct yourself determines whether God opens doors over your life or not. It determines whether you enter into the next season of whatever God has for you. God is not letting bitter people in. Okay? Bitter people are held captive to sin because they can't let their anger go. They can't let their resentment go. They can't let their disappointment go. And they harbor resentment. And on top of all of that, the stronghold of it is unforgiveness. And you know what the Bible says about that. If you don't forgive anyone else, you yourself shall not be forgiven. God is not blessing unforgiving people. That violates the kingdom protocol. So here's how bitterness will set you up. It will cause you to focus on that thing that happened to you. So much so that now you've opened doors. You've got resentment. You've got anger. Right? The Bible says anger rests in the bosom of fools. Now you're operating in a foolish spirit. And what that means is, I'm not calling you a fool, but what I'm saying is you're doing things, outside of the fear of God, right? You're doing things without seeking God because your emotions, your damaged emotions, your unhealed emotions are in charge. And it's dictating, like that tiger, it's dictating where you go. It's dictating what you do. It's dictating what you get and what you don't get. Bitterness, the root. Before there has to be a root, before there is a root, there's a seed. The seed of bitterness is the thing that happened to you. Now, what do you do with that? Do you take that seed to the Father in prayer and say, Father, I'm hurt. I'm disappointed. I feel betrayed. I've been overlooked. I've been counted out by whatever. And do you take that thing to God in prayer? Or do you let it harbor? And do you water it with anger? Do you water it with jealousy? Do you water it with gossip? Do you water it with backbiting? What do you do with that? What did you do with that seed of bitterness? What did you do? What did you do with that bitter experience? Has it now taken you hostage? Has it now taken you over? Something to think about. Each heart knows its own bitterness. If you're in a bitter place right now, the Holy Spirit has already revealed to you what that thing is. And if you would allow the Holy Spirit to minister to you for a moment, God would give you the understanding that, daughter, son, that was not the end of the road for you. I have so much more for you. But that attitude, your mannerisms, your conduct, your ways, they prohibit me from moving in and doing the things that I intended to do for you. It is not my will for you to live bitter. Yes, I understand you will have bitter experiences. I understand. But I never desired for you to dwell there. I graced you and I anointed you to come out of that. I graced and anointed you to overcome that. I made you an overcomer. I've given you the power to trample over serpents and scorpions. I'm making you aware of the intentions of this spirit, this bitter spirit. The Bible talks about Naomi in the book of Ruth. And Naomi, because she was so bitter, she changed her name. Is anybody hearing me? Bitterness will change you. When she walked back and she suffered great loss. Don't get me wrong. Remember what I said. We all have bitter experiences. But God was doing something in Naomi. God was restoring her. And bitterness won't let you see that. Bitterness will cause you to envelop yourself in your situation. I'm a widow. I'm poor. I'm this. It will cause you to be so person-centered, right? So selfish to where you can't even see nobody, not even God. You don't even see who God is using you to minister to in your pain. Oh, yes. Jesus was on the cross and he yet opened the doors and extended salvation to someone moments before his death. So don't tell me that you can't heal someone in your painful season. Yes, you can. I've walked through many painful seasons and was yet able to minister to others. Yes, me, like Paul said, myself being a castaway, denying myself, right? Picking up the cross and putting myself, giving myself out and pouring myself out as a drink offering for someone else. Yes, you can. Yes, you can be a blessing to someone in your broken season. Yes, you can. You can give birth in your broken season. Rachel did. Okay, so yeah, Naomi had a broken season. We can certainly identify with that. The woman, she went through some things. She lost her husband and two sons back to back and was left penniless, had nothing. And she was in a foreign land. So I get it, right? Nobody is saying that you shouldn't feel angry. The Bible said, be angry, but sin not. There's a difference between letting something harbor in your spirit and become a part of who you are, weave itself into the fabric of your personality and become a part of your DNA. So she went back to Bethlehem, Judah, and they said, they greeted her. Oh, Naomi is here. Naomi, which Naomi means pleasant. And she said, don't call me that. Call me Mara. For I'm in the gall of bitterness. I'm a bitter woman. I'm angry. Mara. She changed her name. Even though they yet called her pleasant, they looked at her as an overcomer. Wow, you made it. Wow, you survived. Wow, you came out of all of that. And people are seeing what God brought you through, but you're so overwhelmed with what you went through that you don't even know that you came out. You don't even see the glory that other people see. They saw Naomi. She said, no, I'm Mara. No, that's not me. That's what bitterness, the root of bitterness does. Colors your thinking, clouds your view. Right? Thank God for Ruth that wouldn't let her stay there. And I believe God has put or is going to place people in your life. He's going to place a Ruth, male or female, in your life to make sure you don't stay in your bitter place. Because there was still life in Naomi. But bitterness will tell you it's over. This will never happen for you. You're too old. You're too whatever. Whatever your thing is. Bitterness will always tell you what you can't do. it's over. It will never happen for you again. That opportunity will never happen for you again. They're not going to call you again. You'll never do that again. And the devil is a liar. Amen. The devil is a liar. God is not done with you. God is not finished. God has not shut the book. He's not finished with the story of your life. Each heart knows its own bitterness. Romans 3:14, their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. So you see how bitterness and cursing goes together. Unforgiveness goes along with bitterness. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 31 through 32. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. That sums it up, my friends. Ephesians, Paul tells the church at Ephesus, get rid of that bitterness. I'm telling you in the name of the Lord Jesus, get rid of it. Bitterness is out to harm you. Bitterness is out to destroy you. And bitterness has friends. Bitterness travels in groups. Bitterness does not travel alone. Paul gives you the group, the cluster of spirits, evil spirits that travel or that work alongside bitterness. With bitterness comes rage. Rage is uncontrollable emotions, uncontrollable. With that comes anger. And we know what the Bible says about anger. Anger rests in the bosom of fools, right? With that comes brawling. You know what that is? Arguing, contending. And that's what I saw in this young lady, a brawling spirit. She wouldn't argue with me, but it was about me. You know? Brawling. You always have word for word with somebody. You want to know why? Because you feel unheard. You feel like your voice doesn't matter. Bitterness has told you that your voice doesn't matter. That experience that you had gone through that you've never healed from is telling you that no one hears your voice. What you have to say is not important. No one cares about how you feel. And so you find yourself brawling. You're always defending your own honor, defending your own right. Brawling, always having to have the last word. Another thing that works alongside that, slander, which is gossip's first cousin. You tell lies on people. You speak mistruths, or you don't speak the whole truth. Slander. It makes you feel good when someone else is having a downfall season. Why? Because it makes you feel better about the thing that you're in. You run to talk about what happened to so-and-so because it takes the attention off of you for a minute and what you don't have and what you weren't able to accomplish. So you highlight somebody else's flaws or somebody else's faults. So you celebrate someone's failure. Bitterness does that. You have a bitter spirit. Every form of malice. Malice is ill intentions toward others. You don't mean people well. You smile, you hug, you shake hands, you agree, but your heart is so far against everything you just did. You have a malicious heart, a malicious spirit, and you are quick to do someone harm. You are quick to betray. Why? Because it was done to you. And instead of you learning from that, you become a part of it. You join that. Bitterness does it. And that's why Paul said, you've got to get rid of it. Bitter people don't make it to glory. Bitter people don't carry the Holy Spirit. Don't acknowledge the Lord in nothing. Their feelings and their emotions come first. And this is why when I go back to what we open up with in Acts 8, Peter was talking to Simon the sorcerer. He was talking to a witch. A witch. And called him bitter. You're bitter. You're full of bitterness. And you're captive to sin. What does that mean? It means that that bitter spirit is going to drive you into operating in witchcraft, even charismatic witchcraft. So be very careful, my friends. Father, I pray for your people. I pray, God, that it's the words that you allowed me to speak. Saturate their spirit. Let it expose and uncover the hidden thing. Oh, God, those who are bound and are rooted in bitterness, Father, let there be deliverance. Let there be an uprooting, Father, even now, that they may be set free. It is your will, Father, for them to flourish. You said it is your will, Father, for them to prosper and be in health, even as their soul prosper. Father, bitterness is an enemy to the prosperity of our soul. It will keep us, God, and prevent us even from growing and maturing. It will keep us in an immature state. But Father, it is my prayer that my friends who are listening will grab a hold to the word, grab a hold to the passages of scripture we shared, and turn to you and be delivered from the root of bitterness and all that which is connected to it. Break free and break out and go forth and do what you have commanded them to do. You get the glory, God. You get the honor. In Jesus' name, amen.